San Francisco County Transportation Authority Board. I'm Commissioner Myrna Melgar, Chair of this board. Our Vice Chair is Danny Sauter. Welcome, everyone. The clerk today is Amy Sayong. I would also like to acknowledge Jaime Echeverri at SFGov TV for staffing this meeting. Madam Clerk, please call the roll and then make your announcements.
Commissioner Chan? Chan absent. Commissioner Chin?
Present.
Chin present. Commissioner Dorsey?
Present.
Dorsey present. Commissioner Ingordial?
Present.
Ingordial present. Commissioner Fielder?
Present.
Fielder present. Commissioner Mahmood?
Present.
Mahmood present. Commissioner Mandelman?
Present.
Mandelman present. Chair Melgar?
Present.
Melgar present. Vice Chair Sauter? Sauter absent. Commissioner Cheryl?
Present.
Cheryl present. Commissioner Walton?
Present.
Walton present. Chair, we have quorum.
Thank you.
For members of the public interested in participating in this meeting, we welcome your attendance here in person in the Legislative Chamber, Room 250 in City Hall, or you may watch cable channel 26 or 99, depending on your provider, or stream the meeting live at sfgovtv.org. For those wishing to make public comment remotely, the best way to do so is by dialing 415-655-0001, and when prompted, entering access code 2661-949-6961, and then press pound and pound again. You will be able to listen to the meeting in real time. When public comment is called for the item you wish to speak on, press star 3 to be added to the queue to speak. Do not press star 3 again, or you will be removed from the queue. When the system says your line is unmuted, the live operator will advise you that you are allowed 2 minutes to speak. When your 2 minutes are up, we will move on to the next caller. Calls will be taken in the order in which they are received. Best practices are to speak slowly, clearly, and turn down the volume of any televisions or radios around you. Public comment for items on this agenda will be taken first from members of the public in attendance in the legislative chamber, and then afterwards from the remote speakers queue on the telephone line. I'd also like to acknowledge Vice Chair Sauter's presence. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Madam Clerk. At this time, I'd like to excuse Commissioner Chen from the meeting. Before calling the next item, as chair, I would like to invoke Rule 3.26 from the Rules of Order to limit total public comment per item to 30 minutes for today's meeting. Each speaker will have 2 minutes to speak on any given item. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 2, Chair's Report. This is an information item.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Colleagues, last week, the California Transportation Commission announced staff recommendations for several Senate Bill 1 grant programs. I'm excited to share that the Solutions for Congested Corridors program and the Howard Streetscape Project got $14 million in local partnership program funds. The latter project would install a two-way protected bike lane, a landscape medium separating the bikeway from the traffic, bulb outs, and raised crosswalks to shorten crossing distances, among other safety features between 4th and 11th Streets. We are grateful to the California Transportation Commission staff for recommending these funds and look forward to seeing them programmed and allocated. On other good transit news, I would like to extend congratulations to Caltrain for receiving the Rail Project of the Year award from the California Transportation Foundation. That program, which was a signature project of our Prop K sales tax program, has been a game changer for Caltrain riders, bringing faster service, a much more enjoyable experience, cleaner air, and a significant boost, 37% in first 7 months of operation and year-over-year ridership with it. Caltrain electrification is one of many stellar capital projects that the Transportation Authority supports through our sales tax program. And relatedly, I want to also congratulate our finance staff, led by Cynthia Fong, on achieving the top rating once again for Fitch Ratings for our sales tax revenue bonds outlooks. Thank you, Cynthia. This speaks to the strong stewardship of voter-approved funds that the Finance Division and the Policy and Programming Division, led by Anna Lafort, provide on an ongoing basis. Thank you, and kudos to staff in both divisions on their excellent work. Finally, turning to the efforts to bolster Caltrain, Muni, BART, and other Bay Area operators, I'm delighted to share that in early June, the California Senate and Assembly announced an agreement on the state budget, including replacing the governor's $1.1 billion cut to public transportation with an interest-free loan of $750 million for Bay Area transit systems to avoid catastrophic service cuts over the next 2 years. I want to express my particular appreciation to Senator Scott Wiener and Senator Jesse Arreguin, who, along with LA Assemblymember Mark Gonzalez, led a coalition of legislators and advocates to secure and protect transit funding in the state budget. Meanwhile, our Bay Area region is continuing to work hard to come together to support Senate Bill 63, which would authorize a regional transit measure for the 2026 ballot. Thank you to our staff for tracking this closely and working with MTC and others to advocate for changes to this legislation as warranted going forward. With that, I conclude my remarks. If there's no other questions or comments, Madam Clerk, let's go to public comment, please.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item two? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Checking for remote public comment. There is no remote public comment.
Okay, thank you. Madam Clerk, call the next item, please.
Item three, Executive Director's Report. This is an information item.
Thank you. We welcome Ms. Maria Lombardo to give this report.
Okay. Good morning, Chair Melgar and Commissioners. I'm happy to present the Executive Director's Report on behalf of Dr. Chang, who's on a well-deserved vacation. I'm sorry, for those of you who watch Timo, there'll be a couple of repeats. I will make them concise. So first off, I wanted to provide an update on some litigation that we are involved in on the federal grant front. The Transportation Authority, TIMA, the City and County of San Francisco, and several other entities nationwide have joined the King County versus V. Turner litigation seeking to protect current and prospective federal funds from unlawful and politically motivated funding conditions incorporated into the grant agreements. These include conditions related to diversity, equity, inclusion, and immigration enforcement. There has been a little bit of positive movement. A federal district court in Washington State has granted preliminary injunction against the imposition of these terms, which allows us to execute grant agreements and amendments while the injunction is in place. We will keep both the TA and the TIMA board apprised of further developments and appreciate the City Attorney's Office for leading these efforts. In a similar vein, earlier in the month, you may have seen news where the Federal Railroad Administration notified the California High-Speed Rail Authority of its intent to terminate over $3 billion in federal funds awarded in 2022 and an over $900 million funds awarded in 2010. These are, needless to say, critical funding pieces of the High-Speed Rail Authority's initial operating segment, which is under construction in the Central Valley, where they have already completed many of the viaducts, overpasses, and underpasses, which are needed on that first 119 miles of high-speed rail track, which will set up the next future phase, bringing it northward towards the Bay Area. High-Speed Rail has filed a letter rebutting many of the claims made by the federal government as continuing to follow through the formal dispute process as allowed by their grant termination. We'll just keep tabs on that along with all of the partners on the project. So switching focus, but still at the federal level, I wanted to report that the executive director served on a panel recently on AV innovation and test beds. This was hosted by the Safety 21 University Transportation Center at Carnegie Mellon University in Washington, D.C., which brought together a number of industry, research, and public sector leaders from all levels of government. Director Chang was on a panel where she highlighted San Francisco's experience as a locus of AV deployment. She emphasized the need to modernize and expand federal reporting and permitting requirements, while allowing all levels of government, incorporating their input in shaping a federal AV framework that will preserve local oversight and ensure accountability. I'm going to jump a few pages here just on that same sort of tech topic. At the state level, one of our staff, Principal Planner Drew Cooper, recently testified, talked last week at the California State Assembly Communications and Conveyance Committee, which was holding an oversight hearing on TNCs, or these are the ride-hail services like Uber and Lyft. Drew was on a panel, but he was among a speaker list that included representatives from the California Public Utilities Commission, CPUC, from the TNCs Uber and Lyft, and researchers at UC Berkeley. Mr. Cooper's testimony was about the continued lack of public access to TNC data reports, despite the CPUC's ruling that TNC annual reports should be public. To date, only one of those reports is public, the one from 2021. We are observing similar transparency issues now related to reporting on autonomous services. And Mr. Cooper's overall message was urging the CPUC to follow through on its own rulings to release timely, complete data to inform policymaking on those very important sectors. I want to switch back to grants, where we've got a mixed bag. We had some really good news at the state level. The state announced recommendations for a series of Senate Bill 1 grant programs that are highly competitive. I want to shout out to the MTA that was recommended for $55 million in grants. There's a $41 million grant from the Solution for Congested Corridors program for their train control upgrade project, which is desperately needed to upgrade our floppy disk software to modern computer software. And also, they had a $14 million grant recommendation for the Howard Streetscape project that will include a two-way protected bike lane landscape median separating the bikeway from traffic, bulb outs and crosswalks, and other safety features between 4th and 11th Streets. As I said, this was highly competitive, so not all of the grants we were watching were successful. Not included in the recommendation were grant applications for the multimodal base Skyway, which includes our multi-use pathway on Treasure Island. BART had a substation at Powell, which is part of its BART core capacity project that will enable more trains to go through the Transbay Corridor. And Public Works and MTA also had a grant application for the Mission Street Safety Improvements Project. We will work with all of these agencies and try and help find other sources of funding to keep these important projects moving forward. Locally here, if you've been in the Powell station this month, MTC, BART, and Muni are testing out new wayfinding signage. This is part of the regional mapping and wayfinding project led by MTC. It's one of the initiatives in the Transit Transformation Plan that is trying to make transit easier, more accessible for folks to use, whether you're a regular rider or a visitor to the area. It is especially exciting to us that they are testing it at Powell because it is one of the more complicated transfer hubs between Muni, BART, surface, and underground, every mode you can imagine. So please get down there. It's just there in June, and MTC would like your input. And I know Chair Melgar sits on the MTC. So this is your opportunity to shape how that signage will roll out through the rest of the Bay Area. There is a little survey you can fill out on the MTC website, either at the project site, or frankly, it's easier just to type in MTC.ca.gov and search for wayfinding. All right, almost done. Tilly left me a really long executive director's report. Locally, so Director Ting and our staff, we held some roundtables, two of them in earlier in the month that included a cross-section of neighborhood, business, and civic groups. And this was our opportunity to share our findings and hear from the folks attending on various topics that have come before the board. So we featured the downtown travel study, which explored major travel trends and patterns emerging since the pandemic. We highlighted the San Francisco Transportation Plan 2050 Plus update, the city's long-range vision for developing and investing in transportation in the city. And we also discussed the transit fiscal cliff and the related SB 63 efforts. That is the state bill that we've been watching that would enable a regional transportation measure to be put on the ballot in November 2026. So just a few more highlights on outreach. Summer is a busy time for doing outreach. We have the District 4 Community Shuttle is holding a virtual town hall on June 26 from 6 to 7 p.m. They are going to be sharing a concept for a micro transit shuttle service in District 4 that has been informed by prior rounds of outreach. Cantonese interpretation will be available, and Spanish and Filipino translation are available upon request. Based on community input, the team has identified a potential service model. and operating requirements. This phase of the study is really just outlining what a potential service may look like, developing cost estimates and fundings for future service. There's more information on our website at sfcta.org/D4shuttle. More outreach on that side of the city. We have the Brotherhood Way Safety and Circulation Plan team is in their second or launching their second round of outreach. There will be three online town halls on July 9, 10, and 17 in English, Spanish, and Cantonese, respectively, and a multilingual in-person town hall on July 15th. These meetings will review the community priorities from prior rounds of engagement, share potential solutions to address community-identified challenges, and seek input on three sketch alternatives. So it's a great time to see what's been going on in that effort and to weigh in. There will also be an online survey that will be released on July 9th. This study is looking at improving the safety, circulation, and connectivity for people driving, walking, and rolling through the Brotherhood Way and Alamany Boulevard corridors and surrounding streets. More information is on our website, sfcta.org/brotherhood. I promise I'm almost done. A couple of project delivery updates. I wanted to congratulate MTA on activating the 7th Street bike signal. This is a new northbound signal at 7th Street and Mission Street, and it's part of the 7th and 8th Street safety projects, plural, in SoMa. We also wanted to call it out besides the additional safety benefits that it provides by separating bicycle and road vehicle traffic on there. It's building on prior investments that we helped fund in the 7th Street project in 2021. So we're glad to see these ongoing investments and improvements in that area. And a shout out to Deputy Director Carl Holmes and his team on the West Side Bridges project that we are leading on Yerba Buena Island to support the development that's going on the islands. That project and the companion project, the Hillcrest Road Improvement Project, are both on schedule to open in late 2026, and they're both about halfway done. I will just note, as I mentioned in the prior TIMA meeting, that Carl and his team are looking for opportunities to accelerate the different aspects of the multi-use pathway while we have road closures going on due to the construction of those two aforementioned projects. And with that, I will conclude the executive director remarks and be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you so much, Ms. Zimbardo. I don't see anyone on the roster with questions. So let's go to public comment on this item, please, Madam Clerk.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 3? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Checking for remote public comment. There is no public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, let's go to the next item, please.
Item 4, approve the minutes of the June 10th, 2025 meeting. This is an action item.
Okay, I don't see any questions or comments about the minutes. Colleagues, may I have a motion in a second, please? Moved by Walton, seconded by Chen. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Is there
public comment? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, let's go to public comment on this item.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 4? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Checking for remote public comment. There is no remote public comment.
Okay. Now, please, Madam Clerk, let's call the roll.
On the motion to approve item 4, Commissioner Chen. Chen, aye. Commissioner Dorsey?
Aye.
Dorsey, aye. Commissioner Ingordio?
Aye.
Ingordio, aye. Commissioner Fielder?
Aye.
Fielder, aye. Commissioner Mahmood?
Aye.
Mahmood, aye. Commissioner Mandelman?
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Melgar?
Aye.
Melgar, aye. Vice Chair Sauter?
Aye.
Sauter, aye. Commissioner Sherrill?
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Walton, aye. There are 10 ayes. The minutes are approved.
Thank you so much. Madam Clerk, let's go to the next item, please.
Items 5 and 6 comprise the consent agenda. Staff is not planning to present on these items, but are available for questions.
Okay, I don't see anyone on the roster with questions about any items on the consent agenda. So if there's no questions or comments, can I have a motion, please, with Walton and Mandelman second? Madam Clerk, I think we can take this same house, same call.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, we take the same house, same call. Thank you. Madam Clerk, let's please go to the next item.
Item 7, I-280 Southbound Ocean Avenue Off-Ramp Improvement Project Update. This is an information item.
Thank you. We have Ms. Elisa Paz here to present.
SFGov, I'm sharing slides. There you go. Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Elisa Paz, Principal Transportation Planner with the TA. I'm going to give an info update on the I-280 Southbound Ocean Avenue Off-Ramp Improvement Project. So we are looking to redesign the Ocean Avenue off-ramp. This is, again, on I-280. You can see the position. This is between City College Campus, Lick Wilmerding, and the Balboa Park, BART, and Muni stations. There's a few challenges that we're working to address and also design around. So you can see a picture of the off-ramp on the right-hand side of the slide. It's currently an uncontrolled single-lane off-ramp, which means that cars don't have to stop when exiting the freeway. So they're exiting at pretty high speeds. And because of the curve and the slope of the off-ramp, there's limited visibility of bike and pedestrian movements where the off-ramp meets Ocean Avenue. So there's a lot of merging happening at this location. There's a lot of activity with people crossing. So we want to address all of those conflicts. There's also some technical challenges. The rail tracks on Ocean Avenue are slightly elevated, higher than street level, which creates some design constraints. We don't want to rip up the tracks. That's a big effort and substantial cost. And we also know that with the Balboa Reservoir project and the City College campus redesign, that over time there's expected to be more traffic in this area. So we want to get ahead of that increased traffic and make it more safe and connected for people to walk and bike between the commercial corridor, City College, and BART and Muni. This idea to redesign the off-ramp first came in 2014 as a way to improve pedestrian and bicyclist safety in the area, and it's continued to come up throughout different studies over the course of the years. We also want to recognize that there's a lot that has been happening over the past few years around Ocean Avenue. MTA has done improvements to Frida Kahlo. There's also a slow street effort on Cayuga. A couple years ago, we worked on the NTIP study for the Ocean Avenue Mobility Action Plan. So there's all these projects that have different ideas, both near and long term. And the ramp is another piece of this puzzle. So we are making sure that we're coordinating with those various plans and improvements. We did outreach through the environmental process between 2016 and 2020, and the main points that we heard were the need to address congestion, making sure that we're improving access for people walking and biking across the ramp. There was interest in looking at mid-block crossings or allowing left turns from the off-ramp onto Ocean. That is prohibitive because of the raised rail tracks, so we're not able to accommodate that. And the other thing that we heard is the need to really understand the construction impacts and how this would affect circulation in the area and how this project relates to other recommendations that have come up for the Ocean Avenue corridor. So this is the improved design or the recommended design. I'm going to walk through it right to left, which is the direction of westbound traffic. So first you can see on the overpass, we're not changing the configuration of the road, but we are recommending to upgrade the existing bike lane to a green bike lane so it's more visible to drivers and bicyclists that there is dedicated bike space. As we get to the ramp, you can see a few changes happening. So there's first a new traffic signal proposed. So this would change the off-ramp to a signal-controlled ramp. And with that, we are proposing to add a second lane to the off-ramp itself. This is really important because with the signal, we need a place to store the cars that are waiting during a red light so that traffic doesn't back up onto the main line. So this is to help with that storage. We're also proposing improved crosswalks, ADA ramps, and kind of conflict and wayfinding marking for the bicycle connection across the intersection. And then the last piece is to continue the bike lane to House Street as a protected on-street bike lane, and pairing that with a wider sidewalk along the City College campus edge. And that wide sidewalk is a aspect that allows us to align with this longer-term idea for a shared bike and pedestrian path that provides an off-street connection all the way up to Frida Kahlo. So we're designing to allow for that future design. Our estimated construction costs are between $14 and $17 million. We do expect to have minimal construction along Ocean Avenue, really related to the sidewalk and bike lane. And then we also anticipate with Caltrans working on the off-ramp, there would be short-term closures of the ramp itself. But there would also be a construction plan in place to give folks advance notice of any detours that would be needed. And then to wrap it up, so we have been working with Caltrans and city departments on this design. We're going through outreach right now, so we've been speaking with a lot of community groups to get feedback on this design. That will allow us to make some adjustments and finalize the design by the end of the year, at which point we would work to secure permits and funding, and that would allow us to move into construction. I will also note that through this month, we will be getting to about 95% design, so really close to final design. So we expect to come back sometime in the fall for additional allocation request, and that would help us address any final comments that come in from the city family, from Caltrans, or from public outreach, so that we can really get it to actually final design. And that concludes my slides. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Paz. I just want to say thank you and also to Carl in particular for all the work that has gone into this and the negotiations. I also want to thank MTA staff, particularly Victoria Wise and Director Kirschbaum, who went out in the wee hours of the morning along with Joel Ramos to look at this particular bit of our roadway. It is really dangerous, and there's a lot of people who cross. It's right at the border between District 11 and District 7. There's Lake Wilmerding, there's City College, and of course there's Riordan High School, so there's a lot of people getting off the Muni and BART station and crossing that road in different configurations, and there's very poor lighting. It could use a lot of work. I'm sorry that it's taken 11 years from when somebody had this idea to get to this point, but I'm glad we're doing it. So thank you so much. I don't see anyone else on the roster with questions. So let's go to public comment on this item. Thank you.
Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 7? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Checking for remote public comment. There is no public comment.
Thank you so much. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 8, introduction of new items. This is an information item.
Okay, there doesn't seem to be any new items. I don't see anyone else on the roster. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 9, public comment. Is there anyone in the chamber who wishes to speak on item 9? There is not. Operator, is there any remote public comment?
Checking for remote public comment. There is no remote public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Madam Clerk, please call the next item.
Item 10, adjournment.
Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.